Our opening scripture this morning is Matthew 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. But at the same time, Jesus says in the same Sermon on the Mount, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for whoever. For anyone who asks receives, and all who seek find, and all who knock, the door is open. So we come today looking to ask and receive, to seek and find, to knock. And our scripture this morning, as you see up on the screen, is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verses 17 through 30. Carla, I'm going to read through 22, and then you can just leave it up through 22 for a while. Okay. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The young man runs up to Jesus. He is just so full of enthusiasm. He is on fire for the Lord. He is ready from this time onward to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus has the words of eternal life. "Now, Lord, give me the word." But he's also shallow. And he shows it as he tries to butter Jesus up. "Good teacher." Can almost hear the oil in his voice. Yet Jesus knows our hearts, and he calls the young man out. "Why call me good? Only God is good." But here, Jesus does not let the young man's weakness get in the way. Jesus simply answers him, listing the commandments. And the young man has shown he's already learned one lesson. He answers Jesus by saying, "Teacher." He replies with gusto, "Teacher, I have done all these things since I was a kid." Yes. You could almost imagine Jesus, the young man, reaching out to Jesus for a fist bump or even launching himself at Jesus for a chest bump. Yes. And then the next verse, Mark gives us an aside. I love this aside. These are the words where I find my comfort in this passage that's going to get hard real quick. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus knows our hearts. Jesus knows the young man's heart. Jesus believes the young man has tried to live up to the commandments his whole life. He truly believes that, and he knows the young man has been sincere in the attempt. Jesus loves that about him. And Jesus also knows that it was impossible, is impossible for the young man to keep every commandment every time, 24/7. There were times when the young man fell short. There were, are, and will be times we fall short and we keep plugging away. Jesus loves that about us. He doesn't condemn us for failing to be perfect. He looks at us and loves us. For the past 6 months, I have been very, very intentional and have tried my darndest to help you realize again and again and again that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves this church. Doesn't mean we've always been perfect as individuals or a church. Doesn't mean we're perfect now. Doesn't mean we will always be perfect. Only God is perfect. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are saved. We are loved. I know I have been a broken record since I've gotten here. I've done it intentionally. Most of you must think I have one arrow in my sermon quiver. I have to use this. Jesus loves you. Jesus looks at you and loves you. Jesus looks at you and loves you. Jesus looks at you and loves you, but this arrow is different. This Jesus looks at you and loves you is not the whole of the gospel message. It's time for us to move on in sermon and in worship and as a body and in ministry here at Covenant Presbyterian Church. It is not the whole of the gospel that Jesus loves you. Yes, indeed, Jesus loves you fiercely. Jesus never lets go of you. But we're moving into a different time. Let's continue the passage. Verse 21 and 22. You lack one thing, Jesus says to the young man. Sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When he heard this, he was shocked and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. He isn't the only one who's shocked here. This is a hard message. This is a message all of us need to hear. This is a message not just to the young man, but to each and every one of us. Get rid of that which distracts you. Get rid of that doesn't put Jesus first. Then come follow me. All that keeps you from following Jesus, from giving your very best, the first fruits to Jesus, get rid of it. Hard message. All that you invest your time in, all that you invest your money in, all that you invest your energy in must be second. Wow. In all situations, put Jesus first. And our distractions aren't necessarily money or possessions. Get rid of that which keeps you from taking up your cross daily and following Christ. Wow, that's a hard message. Now, please note at this point that St. Mark doesn't whisper at us, when the boy was disappointed and went away, Jesus stopped loving him. No way. No way. Jesus loves us fiercely every moment, even when we are shocked, even when we are disappointed. Jesus never stops loving us when we aren't sure we can follow him with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. That we aren't sure that we might just get up and leave. Jesus loves you anyway. Jesus loved the young man even though he went away sad and had many possessions. Now, I'm not a fanciful person. I usually plug away at life, take it as it comes, keep moving. And that's the way I study Scripture and look at Scripture. I read it and take it at face value. This is what the Scripture said. I don't take it literally, but I look at it and I interpret it with my intelligence guided by my experience. Not very often I get fanciful or get very imaginative or romanticize a passage, but I'm going to do that today because I've imagined a future for the young man that informs and directs our future in our real life. Okay, Jesus says, one thing you lack to the young man, go and sell everything and then come follow me. And when he heard this, the young man was shocked and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Imagine he went away grieving because he had many possessions and he liked his stuff. He liked it all. But he went away grieving because he knew he was going to get rid of it. He got rid of it, sold it off, took a loss. Then he came back and was with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem. He was with Jesus at the cross and the grave. He was with Jesus at resurrection. He was with the apostles in the upper room. Just imagine that. The young man did what Jesus said. And the formerly rich young ruler's name, imagine, was Stephen. And he was a member of the infant church. And the apostles called upon this once very distracted Stephen to be the first deacon. Because he knew, because they knew, the apostles knew, that Stephen knew how hard it was to accept and live out following Jesus. Stephen also knew that this was the easiest road. That the Christian life, once we put aside our distractions and make following Jesus our first priority and keeping our eyes on Jesus, all things are possible with God. In this scenario, Stephen's story becomes our story. Every day, every hour of every day, every minute of every day. Who am I fooling? It's so easy to get distracted. So easy to take our eyes off of Jesus. Even for the Stephens amongst us. We have much that is of first importance. That's why this is such a hard message for me. Because I have much, many, many blessings that are of first importance. My family. My friends, my church family. All of that, as great as it is, needs to be set aside so we can love Jesus and follow Jesus. I'm telling you, this is hard. And just think about yourselves this morning, how easy it would have been to stay home. The Sunday paper. No cold car to get into. A hot, fresh cup of coffee, a sunroom, a crackling fire, or follow Sarah and go on a hike. Or turn on the CBS Sunday morning show. Give the kids a call. Call the grandkids. Stay home. Or how about if we don't stay home? How about brunch at 10? Why fight the church crowd at noon? Let's go to brunch at 10. And of course, there are early NFL playoff games. Yet here you are. Here you are. Here you are. You have even realized that you set aside the distraction and put on Christ and worship of Christ as first importance. And believe it or not, this makes each and every one of you a Christian example. Imagine that. Stephen's story is our story. We have been showered with blessings upon blessing, and we cherish our blessings. But as Christian examples, we can't even let our blessings get in the way. We must take even our blessings and make them second importance. And as we do so, people will notice. People do notice. Oh, sorry, I can't go and do that today. It's my Bible study morning or my Bible study afternoon. Or I go to church on Saturday mornings to quilt or to watch a video with the guys. Or it's Tuesday and it's 7 o'clock. Sorry, I got to go to old guys' breakfast. Wednesday, Iwana and youth group, I volunteer there. Can't be with you today. I'm driving a member of our church to the hospital or driving him to a doctor's appointment. We do these things because we are disciples of Jesus Christ. That we make Jesus first important. People do notice, and it moves them in their, well, maybe it moves them just a tiny bit, but it moves them in their faith as well. So let's pick up our passage from the time the young man has left Jesus and before he returns as Stephen. Verse 23 and following. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. And Jesus said to them again, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. They were greatly astonished and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." And Peter said to him, "Look, we've left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Amen, amen, I say to you. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this age houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." You have to love St. Peter, don't you? Everybody else is whispering. Oh, we've done all that stuff. What's going to happen? There's Peter. Look, Lord, we've done it all. We put you first. It's time. What's up for us? We put you before our family. I left the house with my mother-in-law at home. I cracked myself up. We've left our work, we've left our family, we've left our business, we've given it all to you. And now you're saying it's impossible for us to enter the kingdom of God. And Jesus says, yep, that's exactly what I'm saying to you. That is exactly what I'm saying. For you to try to earn your way into heaven, to try to work your way into heaven, you can't do it. But realize that you are saved and loved and forgiven, and you have a way into eternal life forever and ever. Amen. For nothing is impossible with God. At the same time, putting Jesus first, we receive 100-fold blessings. We really do. Life is worth living because we live in Jesus Christ. Life is good, and that's why we're here. Life in Christ is good and comforting. It is joyful. What would we do without Christ in our lives? It is 100-fold blessing, absolutely. And we're feeling pretty good about all that, aren't we? Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about this Christian thing. And Jesus says, if you're feeling pretty good about it, think about the 100-fold blessings. Then he slips in two little words. And persecutions. Did you catch that when he said that? And persecutions. You live your blessed life right now, and God has promised you blessed life into eternity. Absolutely. But it isn't always going to be a smooth path. It's going to be the hard path. It is not easy all the time. Now, I am a swell preacher. Thank you very much. I am full of stories, and I could illustrate this, what I've just preached about how good God is. But thanks be to God, I'm going to stop talking. The Lord God has provided us with the daughter of our church this morning to illustrate this sermon with her real life story and the stories of people who have discarded distractions and follow Christ with everything they've got. And they have reaped 100-fold with some troubles. And they have seen for themselves that the last shall be first. So, Rose, please come on up and finish our sermon.
Thank you, Pastor Steve. So, as some of you may know, I work with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, and one of our jobs is to go to the nations and to minister God's love. And I had the amazing opportunity this last year to go to Solomon Islands and basically help out with teaching on this school. So it's a discipleship Bible school, and you go over the whole Bible in 3 months. And so these students, they, English isn't even their first language, but, you know, they have such a heart and desire to know God's word that they, you know, they choose to take this time aside to pay to take this school to read God's word and to go deeper on a more intimate level. Now, you know, what I really wanted to talk to you guys today about was just some of the experiences I had with these students. And I mean, truly, these students, you know, come from very limited means. So, you know, and oftentimes, like, you know, these students, they come from backgrounds where they have come up from, like, you know, families with alcohol abuse and, you know, just all forms of limitations that don't allow them to walk out in the fullness that God has planned for them. And so, one student in particular, I was talking to him, you know, as we were doing some work duties, just like digging a hole for one of the water drains. And so I was talking to him, and, you know, he had this gash in his neck, and he said, yeah, like, you know, I came from a background where, I was, you know, in the drinking life and, you know, was stabbed in the neck and, you know, he almost died from that. But what was so crazy is, you know, he saw that lifestyle and was like, I am not going to like pursue that. And so he went, came to YWAM, and so he walked out and like learning about his word. And it's so cool because he has so many dreams and aspirations to one day be a preacher. And it's so cool how God will take, you know, the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And simply, you know, people who are willing to raise their hand and say, here I am, Lord, send me. And so I was also talking to this other student, her name is Susie, and, you know, she's just such a sweet and, you know, gentle woman of God. And so I was just working with her in the garden, and it was amazing because, you know, we were just, you know, like simply working on some plants, and she was just talking to me about this one time where, so God was telling her to like give the last of her money, which was $3 solid dollars. And if you know what the conversion between U.S. and solid dollars, it's like for every 8 solid dollars, it's 1 U.S. dollar. So, so she had 3 solid dollars left. And so she took that, and God told her, I want you to bring it into church and just simply give it. And so she walked out in obedience, and literally it's just like the story with the woman, the widow who put the last 2 coins in in the tabernacle. And, you know, there's something about that that just moves God. Like when we walk out in obedience and when we step out in faith and knowing that, like, you know, maybe my own needs are not going to be met. And what was so amazing is that, you know, the following day, this one woman named Hilda ended up giving her $1,000 solid dollars. And so this just shows how, like, God will take, you know, the little, like, pieces that we have when we offer them to the Lord and we walk out in obedience, and God will multiply that. And you know what's amazing is Hilda, she doesn't have a lot of money. You know, she was one of the other ladies on the base, and she was a mother of like 2 kids, and her husband was taking this course. And so she had, you know, shoes that were tattered, and like, you know, her clothes were not even in like the best condition. You can just tell that she just didn't have the means. But it was so cool. She stepped out in obedience and she gave because, you know, she had that simple faith in knowing that God like loved her so much and like that he would provide. And so, you know, all these different examples just show how when we like step out in obedience and love with radical love, like that's how we change the world. Like these people, they are world changers, you know. And like I'm over there like helping instruct them, but they are the ones who are going to be going out and they're going to go through Solomon Islands and they're going to be changing the world. And so it was honestly such an honor to work with these students because, you know, like in the world's perspective, these students like are like just a bleep on the world. Like they're literally nothing. And yet, like God sees them, he knows them and he loves them, and he is already using them for great things. So, you know, I just encourage you guys, just to walk out in obedience. And when we choose to love and love through action and just obeying God, like that's how we can change the world. And really, like, you know, these people, like, God uses the small things in the world to confound the wise. So just remember, like, yeah, just being humble and choosing to walk out in that is, like, so important. So I'm going to pass it back to Steve.
Amen. Thank you, Donna. Yeah.